Mark Collier here with For Thomas Matters Radio. We are sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions. Did you know that one of the nation's top-rated merchant processing companies calls Fort Thomas home? It is Omega Processing Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you should definitely call them. The little chips in the cards now, that is kind of a big deal. You're going to want to know what that means for your small business. You can give them a call at 859-442-8100 or visit them at omegap.com for more information. I am here today with Darren Murner. Darren is the author of Corporate Bravery. We just finished a podcast with him, and I wanted to get the Ask Me Anything segment on there, but we kind of talked a little bit too long and wanted to make it a little bit shorter. So we are actually having a beer right now, and we're going to kind of discuss some of these questions that I've got. I ended up getting about 100 via text, Facebook, Twitter, email, but we've kind of pared it down to about 20. Darren is going to kind of take the lead, and this is just going to be a conversation that two buddies are having at the bar, so hopefully you'll indulge us. Darren, how are you?
Good, man. These are some real burning questions here.
They are.
It's going to be tough.
It's hard because, you know, I didn't get a chance. My days are pretty full. This is the fourth meeting that I've had today. Five if you count another personal thing that I had to do. But I didn't get a chance to kind of prep for these. So some of these questions I don't know the answers to.
All right, well, let's start with the really hard hitting one right out of the bat.
Yeah.
And more than likely, this comes from somebody who was inconvenienced by getting their latte in the morning,
either
entering or exiting the Starbucks parking lot.
Okay.
When will they finish the construction on Churchill and reopen that road?
Yeah, so that was actually a talking point at the last council meeting, and I think probably generally when they bring something up at council.
Isn't that technically Newport?
Newport paid for some of it,
okay.
Which means, yeah, some of it is Newport.
Okay.
But when they bring something up like that at council, that
means somebody's complained.
Probably more than one person.
Yeah.
So whoever asked that question, you're probably not in the minority. I do know that whoever was repaving that one, it was a little bit different because they had so much to reconstruct there and they had so much to do. It was a different process than like on
West. It was
West.
Concrete too.
Yeah, it was hard. So, and the concrete part, I know it took longer because there was a curing process with that concrete.
Man, are you going to get technical here?
That's all I know. Here's the answer. The answer is it is taking longer because of the nature of the job, but
okay.
It is going to get done.
And did you get a date? Did they say anything in council about that?
They generally leave those open-ended. If I had to guess, I would say that Churchill and North Fort Thomas would be done, wrapped up by November 1, which they should because then you got weather.
Yeah. All right. Here's another one, really hard-hitting. Why do you always act like a cheerleader for Fort Thomas in Northern Kentucky? I mean, you're such a jerk. Seriously. Why can't you just be a little bit more rude? And
well, I think that Fort Thomas is, I mean,
it's a pretty cool city.
Hell, we all chose to live here because it's a great city. I mean, it's an awesome city. And I do get a lot of flack sometimes because people call me a cheerleader, but you know, whatever. It's an awesome place to live. So
I feel like you're always going to make somebody unhappy, right?
Yeah.
Like if you are critical of someone, then they're angry and upset with you. And,
yeah.
If you're too sugar-coated, then, you know, you're a cheerleader. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. There's cynics out there that want you to be more negative, and there's people out there that think that you should never write anything negative. And I feel like we do skew things to a positive extent because I am the publisher, and I'd rather be more positive.
I think there's not enough positive stuff out there, frankly. But
well, you take the instance of today. I wrote an article about a deer. There was a deer collision right on Highland Avenue.
Two deers collided?
No. Well, a guy got hit by a deer. He said his term was he got T-boned by a deer, and he,
I hope it was a buck.
Well, he said he had a hoof mark on his shoulder. And, you know, he got
was
on
his
our
window opened?
No, it crashed through his window. There's pictures on the website right now on Fort Thomas Matters.
Obviously, I did not read that
article. No, well, it just came out today. But the whole gist of the story was not that there was a deer accident or he had a hoof to his shoulder, but he actually posted on our Facebook page at 3:30 that day. He was obviously wired. And he said, you know, this town is awesome. I had a terrible accident. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And I had four random people just come up to me and yeah, just...
totally.
Whatever. And so, but you look on the Facebook page and people are criticizing me for that. So it's like, whatever. You do what you can do.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I think if you wanted to get... there's probably things that you're always going to find that is... you could be critical of in Fort Thomas.
Yep.
But, you know, I think... if we were to be really honest, like Northern Kentucky, you and I love Northern Kentucky. You know, you were born and raised here. I moved here after college. We want it to be successful. But I think if you were going to pick either Fort Thomas or Northern Kentucky to be more critical of right now, I mean, I think Northern Kentucky's struggling a little bit. You know, we went through a period up through, you know, early 2000 where we had a lot of stuff going on. You know, Covington was growing. There was a lot of stuff. And I think Newport's got some cool stuff happening.
Ovation will be a big deal.
Will be a big, but if they ever get it going again, you know, and it's like when you look at the development that's happened in Cincinnati in the last 10 years relative to Northern Kentucky, it's like, man, that momentum swung back across the river.
Yeah.
And, no doubt. I think, you know, I'm hopeful in the next, you know, few years that we get some good leadership and we're able to start to get some of that development dollars back across the river. But I think if you were going to be critical of one of the two, Northern Kentucky it's struggling a little bit right now.
I'd agree with that. And I do think, Ovation, I think Scott Wortman, actually Michael Monks wrote one too on River City News about the Ovation project. And basically what they're saying is once Kentucky 9 is completed, then that will be the starting point.
Catalyst.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
I hope.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Man, there's so many great questions to choose from. Let's go to one that like I get this question all the time too. Will the VA homes get done? I mean, this thing is just drug on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame for a lot of reasons. I mean, the simple answer is I don't know if they'll get done. They do have a developer process. They have a developer through a request for qualifications process, which I've talked to people behind the scenes, and they have said that that's what the city should have done from the get-go as opposed to a request for proposal. I do know that the VA has stated that they're going to be a little bit more flexible in terms of what they're going to allow the developers to do with abatements and things like that. And I do know the developer, which is Bloomfield Sean.
Something.
Bloomfield Sean. I've heard that they are the developer that you need on the project. Now, saying all those things, I've also heard that if the city is unwilling to put a little skin in the game financially, it's going to make this deal difficult. So if the VA is a little bit more flexible and if the city puts a little financial skin in the game, I do think it'll get done. But as it sits today, even with the developer, if I had to put my money on it, I would say no, it's probably not going to get done. No.
I felt like if the city had stepped up and put some, you know, I think at most they were concerned about losing $500,000. And, $500,000 is not anything to sneeze at. But when you consider the amount of additional tax revenue that could be generated by the city and, you know, in terms of what it does for that district, I think it's worth that investment, especially when the city is sitting on, you know, literally millions of dollars in a cash reserve. I think that'll go down as one of the biggest mistakes that the previous city manager made.
Probably, and almost to along those lines, at some point you would think that, you know, creating like a different taxing district or creating some type of incentive program that Adam Myers actually tried to do and maybe get some of our elected officials involved, like Joe Fisher or now Will Schroeder, like get something done because it makes me sick.
People are frustrated. Yeah. You watch those, could be great public assets sitting and rotting and wasting.
It's frustrating. You go by and They're some of the most desirable homes.
Great location. Yeah. Beautiful. Bummer. All right. Next question. What's going on with the Highlands football team? I mean, seriously, what is happening?
Okay. So it's obviously an anomaly to have a season like this, especially coming off, I mean, what, 9 years?
Oh, like, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's been a crazy run. And I think that's part of it is the run that they've been on is – you can't do that forever, yeah, but we have.
You have to have a reset at some point, yeah.
And I think maybe, you know, they've scheduled tough, but at the end of the day, here's the bottom line, is tonight they're going to play Dixie. It's their first district game.
Yeah.
You look at their district, and their district is not good.
It's pretty weak.
It's nobody's over 500. Covecath is 1-5 as well.
Yeah.
So you beat Covecath. You get essentially three home games until to me, that means they're going to be favored if they beat Covecath, which I don't know that they would be favored to beat Covecath. I think they're probably around the same talent levels right now. But if they beat Covecath, they're going to get a bunch of home games. They're going to make it to the semifinals.
Yeah.
And then you get to the semifinals, you've got Bowling Green sitting on the other side of the bracket, which is – they're good. Yeah. They're good, and I don't remember who we'd have to play in the semifinals. Michael Graham would know that better than I would. But here's my prediction:
they'll still make some noise in the state.
Yeah,
yeah. They'll get there. They'll make some noise, but probably not another championship year.
Probably not. Yeah. But you know, they're going to get to the semifinals.
I've heard the JV team's really good. Is that true?
I've heard their freshman team is really good, which is. Really kind of, it makes me sad that I know that.
I know.
But then I go back and I look, you know, these coaches in every program, not just in Highlands, they know who their quarterbacks are going to be all the way down into the sixth grade.
Right.
So that doesn't make me as sad.
It's a little bit sad, a little bit disturbing, I'm kind of okay with it too. So.
Here's my thing. Like, I don't want to be the guy that like gets on Bluegrass Preps and like with like a weird... you know, anonymous name and like just talk smack to one. Like, I don't want to, no disrespect to those guys. Like, obviously, that's their passion and that's what they like to do. But like, and they probably have kids on the program, but I got off message boards a long time ago and it was for that reason.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on. We could probably spend an entire podcast on those people. When will Fresh Time Market open? It seemed like they made a lot of progress and then they just kind of like stalled out. They had like, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. So we broke that story. We've got some good, and Darren started with these. I mean, we've got some good connections down in Newport and that's how we find the things that we do down there. So we broke that story. Then the Enquirer came along. And
I tried to rip it off and call it their own. Oh wait, no, sorry. Go ahead.
No comment. I drove by today, actually, and it does look like the facade is up. Everything it looks like should be done on the outside is done except for the sign. So answer that question. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I think...
You would think they would be open before Thanksgiving. I mean, that's kind of like a really big shopping time.
Yeah, and I just hope more than anything that another, like... Aldi. I know they're working at Aldi's today, too.
I'm excited about that as well.
So if you have Aldi's and you have Fresh Time...
you kind of have both ends of the spectrum, like the really high-end organic kind of stuff and then the really super cheap, which we both love to shop at.
Yeah, you know? No, and that's probably what I would probably not shop at Fresh Time just because that's not what my... I don't do that kind of...
You're not vegan?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a meat eater, man. Jeff Ruby's my main sponsor.
They do sell meat too. It's just hormone free.
No. The thing
locally,
I'm
organic.
I'm excited because it's going to take at least some pressure away from the Newport Pavilion Kroger's, which is just a freaking.
And they actually do have really good produce deals. Like when they opened the one
up
near Crossroads. Yeah, when they opened that one up near Crossroads, it was like. Ridiculous sales. So hopefully,
let me ask you this question. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but I saw on Instagram the other day where Crossroads, and I know there's a bunch of different Crossroads, but one of the Crossroads churches had sponsored, and there was a guy, it hadn't been from Fort Thomas, from Highlands sponsored a team in Africa and gave them a bunch of jerseys, and it says Highlands across their jersey.
Oh,
and,
shoot, that's hilarious. I don't know anything specifically about that. I know that they have a like a ministry called Go Africa.
Yeah.
And usually people raise their own funds for that. So my guess is it was probably just somebody at the church that did one of those Go Africa trips.
Yeah.
That happened to have access to some extra Highlands jerseys shirts or something.
It's really like cool. So if you follow the Crossroads Church on Instagram, like that was one of their pictures. And the only reason I found out about it is because somebody had tagged Four Thomas Matters in it. And I looked at it and I sent a comment because I was like, that would be an awesome story.
Cool. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think it would be.
Yeah. They do a good job at Crossroads.
They do. All right. Next question. I'm going to save this one for last. Yeah, it's a good one. Did you know that Fort Thomas is... I actually have no idea what this person's talking about, so hopefully you know. Did you know that Fort Thomas's only 24/7 commercial business just changed hands? I have no idea what they're talking about.
24/7, so...
The only thing I know of that's 24/7 in Fort Thomas is the police department.
Yeah, I don't think that changed hands. If I had to guess, Is the Shell station?
Oh, maybe.
24/7?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
BP
station definitely is. You would think it'd be something like a gas station.
Yeah, it has to be something like that because there's no like there's no storage facilities.
So congratulations, listener. You've officially stumped us.
Yeah, you stumped me. Good job. I will find out though because that is actually economic development is one of those things that people like to...
Absolutely. Like, they want to know that.
Yeah. So I'll find out what that is.
And it's definitely not convenient. They weren't 24/7. So I...
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. They just sold. But yeah, they're not 24/7. So
if you're listening, leave a comment or something in the bottom of this podcast.
Yeah.
All right. How does the search for the new city manager going?
They are keeping that really tight-lipped, so much so that they're not even bringing the candidates into the city building to
interview
them. Wow. They're bringing them into Jan Seidenfaden's office, which is right next door to the city building. She's the city.
So much for secrecy.
Yeah, no, I think probably it's, you know, I thought about like just going up there and just sitting just to see who'd be coming in and who'd be coming out.
That's a little bit creepy.
That's weird. Yeah, that's weird. I don't want to do that. But if I had to guess.
But you're not below having Lori watch out.
Oh, no.
At FTC.
Yeah. 100%. Like I've asked people that work in the city building and that work around those to like if they see anything to let me know. But, you know, the big question there is, are they going to hire from within or bring somebody from out of the city? Right now they've got Ron Dill in as the interim city manager. Probably nobody knows the city better than he does, so he's an option. I know that probably there are some other candidates in-house that would like it, and I don't know that they'll get it either. So the big question is going to be... you know, there was a big thing last year because they found out that Don Martin was supposed to have been living in the city for a long time. And, you know, I don't know that a lot of people saw these intricacies of what actually happened, but a resident brought up showed Don his job description, which said you had to live in the city or make plans to do so. He had been the city administrator at that point for 8 or 9 years. And what they did was they just changed the ordinance. Mary Brown tried to do it really sneakily. And that was the way they did it was just weird.
Right. So, but they did change it. So they've got who knows who it could be. It's a lot of different potential candidates, but Ron's.
It's a very desirable job.
Yeah.
Like the salary requirements or the salary minimum is like $105,000.
Well, I mean, Don retired at like 45 or something, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, who doesn't want a job where you can retire at 45?
Well, yeah.
And go bird watch.
And here's the other thing. Like with Ron Dill, like once you hit 30 years in the system, and this is why Don retired. Once you hit 30 years,
it's like
you're losing money.
Right.
You're losing money
to
work.
Forced to retire.
You are forced to retire.
Which is like that's another whole podcast.
Right. That we that's could go that's into, a different like, thing.
The Kentucky pension system.
But Ron has 27 years in.
Right. And so probably not a good.
Well,
it's not going to make sense for him to be in that position.
Well, even if they do hire Ron Dill, they probably have his predecessor already picked out as well.
Right.
Because you don't hire somebody that
is only going to be there 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Or unless 3 years. You have,
yeah. A clear path.
So for someone else. I would say that probably, like, if they do that and nobody knows the city better than Ron, he's probably the best candidate within the city. We'll see. I don't know.
All right. So this is, and I finished my glass. So
we need another beer. Be
one, yeah. Well, that's an option, but you have no really good drinks in your fridge. So, which probably is another podcast. I mean, we've generated at least four new podcast ideas.
That's here, a major, major fail on my part.
So I'm going to ask this last one. It's like probably the biggest, hardest hitting question on here.
Okay.
You know, I'm a huge UK fan. You're a huge UK fan. We enjoy reading Kentucky Sports Radio. Mm-hmm. If they were in Northern Kentucky, we would probably listen to it on the radio as well.
100%.
And, you know, Matt Jones just decided, or like, I guess is in the process. Maybe he did decide, I'm not sure, to run for Congress. Mm-hmm. And so he parlayed this blog and this podcast into a run for office.
Yeah.
So the question is, when are you going to declare your plans to run for a city office?
I've been asked that a lot, and I think it's probably just because...
because I did it once.
Yeah, well, you definitely did. And I think probably if we had, if Four Thomas Matters was on par now when it was back then, we probably could have got you elected.
Maybe. Well, yeah.
But, you know, I think people ask me that all the time, and I think it's just because I don't know, maybe it's just I have become sort of public. People feel like they know me and, you know, in a
really weird stalker kind of way.
No, it's not even that. It's just like, you know, and I appreciate when people, like, reach out to me. Like, that's where I kind of pride myself on is when, you know, somebody comes up to me and talks to me, like, and they give me, you know, even the littlest inclination of something that's going on in their life, I feel like that's important to kind of tell that story and to tie a loop on this whole thing, because we skew positive. Mainly the people that I interact with have a positive experience after we've told their story. So that
and sounds probably, like you're posturing for a political run. That's what it sounds like right now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I really like doing what I'm doing now. And you know, we'll see what happens. I feel like I go to, and I do, I take attendance at all these city council meetings. I have better attendance at the city council meetings than all the city council people, including the mayor.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah. That is sad, but... No, I mean, we'll see. I do feel like, you know, there are some things that can be better in Fort Thomas, in Campbell County. I feel like our
representatives... In Northern Kentucky.
In Northern Kentucky, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of things out there that I feel like I could probably help with. I just, you know, I'm going to use a line that Joe Meyer used here. My wife has... veto power on me.
Right. You got a young child.
I do.
My guess is there'll probably be more on the way at some point.
Yeah. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I could have all the political aspirations in the world, but if LC uses her veto power, that's a no-go.
You're done.
That's a no-go.
All right, man.
Well,
I've got more here, but I think we're
probably... we're probably past... People
have stopped listening at this point.
They have. We're not doing one quick beer. So this has been One Quick Beer, brought to you by City Barbecue. Stop by City Barbecue after... that actually sounds amazing right now.
I'd love some, especially after a beer.
After beer. Darren's going to UpTech right now. What are you doing at UpTech on Friday?
They have grill outs and free beer at 4:30. So are you noticing a trend here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, free beer.
One stop after the next for free beer.
I don't think you're allowed to actually promote free beer.
Oh, well, I did. So
if
you want to come with me.
Free drinks.
You can come.
Free drinks. And wouldn't you like to go to City Barbecue? I would right now. They are on in Highland Heights, right next to for Thomas Jewelers off of Alexandria Pike. They are my go-to place to get catering done, whether it's five people, it's just me and Lindsay, or it's I've actually had up to 60 people in the house in the last month. That was a crazy day. So if you get a chance to go to City Barbecue, you should do it. Darren Murner is the author of Corporate Bravery. He is having his launch party on Monday. So stop by from 6 to 8 at Monmouth Street.
842
Monmouth Street. That is Borderlands, which is a creative and co-working space. He's also the proprietor of that place. So if you are a small business owner and you need a place to kind of work that you're not in a coffee shop every day, you don't have to buy a latte, this is a place where you can go, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So make sure you check Borderlands out, Corporate Bravery launch party Monday. For Darren Murner, this is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio.
So much drama in LBC, it's kind of hard.